Sunday school. Does one of the kids have a song they'd like to sing off the back of the hymn sheet? So numbers 40 to 47. Or if you think it's something that everybody knows, that would be fine too. Can you read all the words that are spelled in that song?
Sitting, spring, Jesus, save, girls, boys, rest.
That's right. Glad tidings I bring that Jesus has come to save me. And he calls the girls, and he wants all the boys too, to trust in him and have their sins now washed away. Maybe we can sing that, and we'll get the girls to sing the line about the girls. And the boys to sing the line about the boys. I think I learned to do that in Nova Scotia. So,
but TRESISTIRING.
The song they'd like to sing? Go ahead.
44.
Okay, into a tent. That's a nice one. I think that one comes from where I live now, which is Ontario.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Down and again, salvation story repeat o'er and o'er, till men can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before. Did he so love me?
A nice song. Can somebody tell me the story this boy had never heard before? Zach?
The story of Jesus.
The story of Jesus, that's right. And Bill Cross talked to us yesterday, and he said that there was, when his son was teaching over in Tajikistan, they didn't even know the name of Jesus. And you know, we shouldn't just assume. A few years ago, when I was talking to the kids about the Christmas story, something didn't know that that was about the Lord Jesus' birth. And you know, we shouldn't just assume that people know about the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to be able to tell about what the Lord Jesus did. In the chorus it says we should We want it says, till none can say of the children of men, nobody has ever told me before, let's try and tell that. Everyone should hear the wonderful news of the gospel. Okay, to somebody else, another, do you have? Go ahead.
Number five.
Oh, happy day. That's a nice one. Oh, happy day, that fixed my joy on divine Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Kiss me. the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still.
Father, we just thank Thee that we can spend a few minutes singing at the start of this Sunday school. And Father, we just would thank Thee for the Lord Jesus who came into this world to die so that we could sing that song, O Happy Day That Fixed My Choice. And that we could sing this song, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, The Bible Tells Me So. And Lord, I pray that it is something that we would appreciate deep in our hearts. We just pray as Thy Word is opened. Father, let us know what the boys and girls in this room need, the adults too. Just pray that it would work for blessing this morning. And Thy Spirit would be able to bring, even if it's just something small, that we could enjoy to our hearts, that He would do that today. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to talk about today is something that I've spoken about before, but I wanted to talk about a little bit different today. It's walking with the Lord. Do you ever go on walks with who? Who do you go on walks with? Well, it's nice when you go on walks with Jesus. Yes, it's very nice. Do you ever go on walks with your parents? Sometimes, you know, sometimes when we get busy, it's hard to go on walks, right? You know, sometimes when we used to live out in Edmonton, we go on walks like almost every week, but since we've been back in Ontario, it hasn't been quite so frequent. You know, going on walks is a very, very nice thing. You know, we have a dog, and he loves to go on walks. Matter of fact, Lindsay and Bryn have been going out walking every morning this week, and I'm at home, and he whines and complains if he can't go on the walk and trip. He loves to go on walks. If he sees Daddy and Mommy going out for a walk around the loops or where we live, he gets very sad if he can't go in the stroller. But who I wanted to talk to you about this morning, who likes to walk with us, is the Lord. And that's what you said. And it starts right at the very beginning of the Bible that we read about Him wanting to walk with us. And so I'm going to talk about five times about walking. One of the times the person didn't walk and he should have been able to walk. And the other four times they did. Okay? The first one is in Genesis chapter 3, I think. And verse 8. So who do you think, if it's in Genesis chapter 3, who do you think it's talking about? Zachary?
Adam
and Eve. Where did Adam live? Can one of the kids tell me where Adam lived at first? Go ahead.
In the garden.
In the Garden of Eden. That's right. And in the garden, was the Garden of Eden nice? It was beautiful. Probably one of the nicest places you could possibly live. You know, there's a place not too far from where my parents lived. It's called the Garden of Eden. It's a beautiful lake. But I don't think it's quite as nice as the real Garden of Eden. And you know, the Lord came, and I think it says, it doesn't say this earlier, but he came and he was walking in the garden, and he wanted to talk, walk and talk with who? Can somebody tell me? Back. The Lord. Let's just read the verses. It's in Genesis chapter 3. And this was after they sinned. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, "The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from amongst the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." So, you know, the Lord came down and he wanted to talk and walk with Adam. And could he? Could the Lord talk and walk with Adam in the way that he wanted to? No, he couldn't, could he, Lord? Why not? Sophia? Because he had sinned. Because he had sinned. If you're bad, do you like to be around your parents? I don't think so, eh? Well, sin made it so that Adam and Eve couldn't enjoy the presence of the Lord in the same way as they did before. That's a very sad thing, isn't it? Just like I said, I think it made the Lord very, very sad. You know, the Lord couldn't walk with Adam and Eve in the same way after that because of sin. And you know, he wants to be with us. He wants to spend time with us. But sin separated them from God so that he couldn't. And you know, that's very sad. But what happened so that we can now enjoy being with the Lord again? What happened? Zachary? The Lord came and he died on the cross, and if we ask him to wash our sins away, we can enjoy fellowship with the Lord again. I just want to go to the New Testament. Somebody else who walked with the Lord, and the ones I want to talk about today, it talks about walking with God. You know, we read about lots of people in the Old Testament who walked with God. There's a whole bunch of them. We read of Noah walking with God. We read of a man named Enoch walking with God. We read of a man named Abraham walking with God. We read of Isaac walking with God. We read of Jacob walking with God. We read of David walking with God. You know, walking with God is a very, very important thing. You know, I hope that we could say that everybody in this room likes to walk with the Lord. And you know, it's in two senses. You know, maybe we actually can walk in a physical sense. Maybe we could walk down the road and talk to the Lord and pray as we go for a walk. You know, I think Bill Prost has come to my parents a few times, and I think he gets up early in the morning sometimes and goes for a walk to talk to the Lord. Think that's nice? It is very nice. Very nice when in a very physical sense we can walk with the Lord. You know, Halifax doesn't have the reputation as being the best city in the world. I have very good memories of this city. Even though two of the hardest years of my life before I was married was spent in Halifax. But I remember the Lord helping me when I was having a hard time. I'd study late at night because I was on the waterfront on the other side of the harbor here, just a few blocks up, and I would study until I was totally exhausted. Then I would get up and walk down Morris Street, which is right beside Spring Garden, two blocks to the harbor front. I'd walk along the harbor front down to Purdy's Wharf, and then I'd walk back from Purdy's Wharf to Morris Street again and back up. And I'd spend a little time talking to the Lord. And you know, that helped me through two of the hardest years of my life, and I have tremendous memories of being in this city because of that. You know, the Lord loves to hear us talk to him. You know, it's not just in a physical sense that we can talk to the Lord, but also every day in the struggles that we have, we can spend time with the Lord. And I want to read of two disciples who walked with the Lord. And you know, this is interesting because Jesus came as a man to this world. And We're going to read one of the first times that we read of him specifically walking in John chapter 1. In verse 35. Actually, we'll go back up and we'll read verse 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." So the nice thing about the Lord Jesus is that he could take away the very sin that Adam and Eve caused that kept us from being able to walk with the Lord the way that we should. And then down in verse 35 it says, "The next day after, John stood and two of his disciples." So there was two disciples here. And John, and they looked on Jesus as he walked. He saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So there was two young men here. I don't know how old they were. Maybe in their late teens, early 20s. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe they were a little bit older than that. And John the Baptist, who was probably around 30 at this time, he saw the Lord Jesus walking, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And what did those two disciples want to do when they heard him say that? Can one of the children tell me? What did those two disciples want to do when they heard that John the Baptist said that he was the Lamb of God? Sophia? They wanted to follow him. Is it a nice thing to want to follow the Lord Jesus? It is a very nice thing to want to follow the Lord Jesus, isn't it? And to walk with him. Well, these two disciples, they wanted to follow the Lord Jesus. And they were following him, and the Lord turned around and he said to them, "What do you want? Or what seek ye?" And what did they want? What did these two disciples want?
Walk with them and follow.
What was the specific question they asked? That was good. That's a good answer. It said, "Where dwellest thou?" Or, "Where do you live?" Or, "Where are you? Where do you stay?" And they followed him to where he is. You think they wanted to be close to the Lord? Do you think it's a good thing to want to be where the Lord lives? You think that's a good thing? I think it is. You know, we read verses in the Bible that say, that there's a verse that says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." You know, it's a wonderful thing to want to be where the Lord is. And these two disciples wanted to be, or wanted to see where the Lord lived and where he dwelled, and they wanted to follow him. And you know, I hope that's true of every boy and girl and adult in this room, that they want to walk with the Lord. And I'm going to call this the walk of friendship. I want to be a little bit careful. Maybe the walk of fellowship or communion would be a little bit better. But they wanted to be close to the Lord. And you know, one of the nice things, if we walk with the Lord and we're close to him, do you think we're going to find out where he is and where he isn't? I think we will, and I don't want to make any strong statements about that at all, but one of the wonderful things of being close to the Lord is we have, I remember talking to my mother about this 2 years ago. Every one of us has in us a desire, if we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, to be where he is. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have inside us. And these two disciples, they followed the Lord here, and you know, Andrew was one of them. And he became a disciple of the Lord. He followed him right up until the time that he died. So that's the first walk with the Lord. Is that a nice walk with the Lord? I think it is. I think it's very nice. You know, when Adam sinned, they couldn't walk with the Lord. He couldn't walk with the Lord anymore. But here, the Lord actually came down from heaven to be a man, and they could actually walk with him and spend time with him. And you know, I think they learned wonderful things, and we can do that in a sense now too. So that's the first walk I want to talk about. The second one I'd like to turn to is in Matthew chapter 14. This one is a little bit... different. Verse 22. Does anybody know the story of Jesus walking on the water? Do you know the story of Jesus walking on the water? There was a... Can you tell me what happened?
There's a couple of guys fishing and he walked on the... I don't know what's so good, but he walked on the water and some guy fell.
That is very good. Very, very good. You know, they were, the Lord told them to get in the boat and go to the other side, and they rowed the boat for a long, long way. It was when they were in the middle of the lake, I think it was like a mile or so, out to the middle of the lake. I've never rowed a boat that much in Newfoundland. Where Bethany Ruth lives, I rode about a few hundred meters, and that's been tiring enough. But they were tired, and a storm came up, and the Lord had told them to do that. And they, let's just read what it says. In Matthew 14, verse 24, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. I'm going to talk about this as the walk of fear, or walking in fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So here's another story, and they were scared here. They were in the middle of the lake, and the storm came up, and they were terrified, and they see somebody walking on the water, and they thought it was a ghost or something. But then the Lord said, it's me, don't be afraid. And Peter says to him, he says, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And he gets out of the boat. And can he walk on the water? Walk on the water. But what happened?
He got afraid because of the wind.
He got afraid because of the wind. And what happened?
He started to sink.
You know what? On Tuesday of this week in the morning, I have a meeting every morning for the last month. It's from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. And it's where about 10 people come and tell all the problems. And I'm a little bit responsible for what's happening. And I knew it was going to be difficult on Tuesday. I said, Lord, I want to walk with you today. Help me. And you know, I got into that meeting, and people started complaining about their problems. And do you think I kept my eyes on the Lord? No. I didn't the way that I should. I got my eyes off the Lord, and I started to sing. And Dave Burns can tell you that Tuesday was not a very good day for me. But you know, when we keep our eyes on the Lord, He helps us. Yesterday He talked about the chipmunk who was stuck in the barrel. And what did He say? There always was for us when we get into a difficult situation. Sophia, do you remember? There's always a stick, always a way to get out of the barrel. Well, you know, it doesn't talk about Peter walking back to the boat with the Lord, but I think he did. And the Lord helped him walk in the water. He helped him through the fear of that situation. And you know, when we walk with the Lord, do you think he can help us when we're afraid? I think that he can. You know, one of the nice things about these stories about walking with the Lord is that in every case it gives a special recognition of who it is. And in this story it says, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The disciples seem to have a special recognition in this situation that this was the Son of God in a way that maybe they didn't have before. And you know, that's something that's nice when we try and walk with the Lord. He gives us a special sense of who He is. And that's beautiful. Well, that's another story of somebody walking with the Lord Jesus. I want to read another one. And this one is in Luke chapter 24. And this is the story of the two people on the way to Emmaus after Jesus died on the cross. Does somebody want to tell me what happens in this story? One of the children. Zachary, you want to tell me?
Well, two men were walking down the road, and then Jesus came and asked if he could walk with them. They didn't know that it was him. And then he was going to go, they walked to Emmaus, and he was going to turn back to go to wherever. They asked him to stay, and he did, and they had breaking of bread together, and they looked at each other, and then they looked at him, but he wasn't there.
That's very good, Zach. You know, that's a good story. You know, this is the story of, I'm going to call it walking when they were sad, the walk of sadness. You know, these two people, Cleopas is one of them. I think Dave Mearns could tell you who the other one was. Who was the other person, Dave?
I don't know exactly, but perhaps his wife.
Perhaps his wife, yes. And I've heard that too. And they were walking away from Jerusalem. And you know, they were sad because there were things happening that they just didn't understand. What had happened in Jerusalem that they didn't understand? The Lord Jesus had died. And who did they think the Lord Jesus was, Sophia? Their Savior, their Messiah. And they couldn't figure out. They thought he was going to come down and set up his kingdom and fix all of the problems that were happening around. And did that happen? No, it didn't. He got crucified. And they weren't expecting that to happen. And they didn't remember that he had said that he was going to rise again. Although they had heard that from a few people. But they weren't walking with the Lord Jesus. But you know, the Lord sometimes, when we're having a hard time, sometimes He comes and He walks with us anyway. And isn't that nice when He does that? Let's just read what it says here because it's beautiful. Luke 24. And we'll start in verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what matter of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And then I'm just going to skip down to verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day was far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat to meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scripture? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. That's a nice story. You know, at the end of that, after the Lord walked with them, Did they recognize who he was? Zach had said that they had bread together. They broke bread together. And did he did they recognize who he was, Zach?
Yes.
Yes, it says their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. You know, the Lord can help us when we're sad. He can help us when we're scared. And he loves it when we want to be close to him. You know, sometimes I'm sad. But, you know, if we spend time with Lord Jesus, it helps make us happy, doesn't it? And we sang that song, Oh Happy Day. I think we gave it out, Fix My Choice. When we spend time with the Lord, he can help us realize what he's done for us. It says their eyes were, they were so happy that they turned around and walked the whole way back where they came from, even though it was late at night. You know, Dave Burns talked about yesterday, the first time running was mentioned in the Bible. This is a hard question. But does anybody remember why Abraham might have ran? Friend? Pardon? Yes, and who is, he probably recognized that was the Lord. Or I don't know how much he understood, but I think that's part of the reason why he ran. You know, the Lord, when we spend time with the Lord and we recognize who he is, he can give us energy that we never thought was possible previously. Well, that's the third story of people walking with the Lord. The fourth one is actually in the Old Testament. And this is a story that I think all of you know. Does anybody know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yes. And what happened to them? Would somebody like to tell me the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Would you like to tell me that story? Just quickly in your own words. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar, that's a big name.
They wouldn't worship his God, so he threw them in the fiery furnace.
Very good, yes, he threw them in the fiery furnace, and what happened?
God saved them.
The Lord saved them, and that was what I would call the walk of deliverance, or in the fire. And you know, let's just turn to that, it's in Daniel. You know, I don't know quite why this story tells us that they are walking in the fire. And if somebody has a thought on that, I would appreciate it. But you're right, they wouldn't bow down to this. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And what happened to the men who threw them into the fire? That? They got too close and it was way too hot. That's right. But the Lord made it so that they didn't get burned at all. They didn't even smell a fire. Even their clothes didn't smell. But did the Lord rescue them from the burning fiery furnace? Yes, he did. And what did Nebuchadnezzar see in the fire that he was surprised about?
Four
people. And how many did he throw in?
Three.
And who did he think the fourth person was? Good answer. Let's read what it says. It says in verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselor, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know, he had a recognition that this was, it looked like the Son of God. You know, this, I don't know for sure. This may have been the Lord in a pre-incarnate form before he came into this world as a man. But it was very, very special. The Lord actually came and he walked with them in that fire. Do you think the Lord will help us through difficult situations that we have in our life? I think he will. You know, in almost all of these situations, they're not nice situations. Would you have liked to have been with Peter walking on the water if the Lord wasn't there? No, I wouldn't have been. I wouldn't have. I don't know what I would have done. I would have been exhausted, tired, and terrified. But when the Lord was there, he helped them walk on the water. And in the situation of the two in the road to Emmaus, you know, would it have been sad if the Lord didn't rise from the dead? That would have been awful. Awful. It would have been terrible. But you know, the Lord turned that situation too around when they were sad. And in this situation, he helped them through the fire. And they showed incredible faith here. But you know, Nebuchadnezzar recognized that the form of the fourth was like the Son of God. And you know, the Lord helped them through a very, very, very difficult situation. And it actually worked on Nebuchadnezzar's heart too. Well, they're the four stories of people walking with the Lord. And you know, I'm not going to, it's almost quarter after now, I'm not going to go into it, but you know, it is very important that we walk with the Lord. I told you of all the people that were mentioned, and I'm not going to go into this, but Enoch walked with God until the Lord actually took him to heaven. Don't you think it'd be nice if we could walk with the Lord until he took us back to heaven? Do you think that would be a nice thing if we walked with the Lord until he came back to take us to heaven? That'd be pretty nice to be able to have that said about us. And you know, the last time I talked about this topic, I talked about the blessings associated with walking with the Lord, and I'm just going to go through them quickly. These are things that you can look at yourself, but it says there's special blessing associated with walking with the Lord. It says, if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. That's in 1 Kings 3. It says in Psalm 1 that someone who walks with the Lord will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It says in Psalm 84 that no good thing will the Lord withhold from somebody who walks uprightly. In Proverbs 28, it says, if you walk uprightly, you'll be saved. It says in Proverbs 28 that if you walk wisely, you'll be delivered. That's what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It says in Isaiah 40 that if we'll be able to walk and not faint. It says in Jeremiah that if we walk with the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, you shall find rest for your soul. You know, we'll have rest if we walk with the Lord. It says in Habakkuk at the end of the book, it talks about being like a deer walking on the tops of the mountains. You know, I love to hike, and that's one of the blessings associated with walking with the Lord. And you know, in the New Testament, we're told of a whole bunch of different ways that we should walk. Tells us to walk. Actually, yesterday Ted Porter talked about walking circumspectly, but it says to walk in the Spirit, and it says to walk in love, and it tells us to walk honestly. And there's 8 different ways it tells us to walk. You know, it's wonderful for us to be able to walk with the Lord, and I hope everyone in this room has that desire to walk with the Lord. And you know, it's not always going to be easy to walk with the Lord. But will he help us every time? Will the Lord help us every time? He will. That's a promise. It says, can you finish this verse? I will never leave thee. You know that verse? Good answer. It says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord will never leave us or forsake us. Well, our time is up, but that's something I think you guys, every one of us could spend more time. You know, there's over 300 references in the Bible to walking, and there's tremendous blessing associated with it. And I hope that it's a desire that every one of us in this room has. You know, it's a very individual thing. I don't know what problems Dale Stewart has in his life. I'm sure his life is perfect. But if you walk with the Lord, do you think he'll help you, Dale?
Most definitely.
He most definitely will. And you know, I could talk to anybody in this room. And you know, I think if you were to ask them, when you tried to walk with the Lord, did he help you? What do you think their answer would be? Back. Yes, that's right. And he'll help us right until he comes back to take us home before the Lord. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we just thank you very much for the boys and girls in this room. And this little topic that we've had before us of walking with the Lord. What an incredible privilege it is to be able to do that. And to know that we don't have to be scared and hide ourselves anymore like Adam and Eve did. But to know that if we put our trust in thee, our sins are forgiven. And that we can be like Andrew, the other disciple who followed and desired to be where, Lord Jesus, thou art. And Lord, help us when we're scared to walk with thee. Help us when we're sad to walk with thee. Lord, help us when we're in the fire to walk with thee. And Lord, help us to be like Enoch, who it could be said that he walked with thee for 300 years, and he was not, for God took him. Pray for the boys and girls, as this world gets worse and there's so much more evil around us, that they will learn to walk with thee personally and individually. We just ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.